Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
So good. So good. Isn't testimony a good thing? It sort of does something inside of you. It should do something inside of you to the point where it says, well, God can do that for me too. That's what it should do. I think Faye is a great picture this morning of what I want to speak on, which is basically standing tall. And standing tall in the calling and the gifts and the anointings that God's called upon you. Yes, you can give the Lord a hand. Because that's the truth. That's where we're supposed to be, in God. And it's interesting, Tom, you spoke on leadership this morning, which I think is fantastic. And I'm promoting a little book called New Covenant Leaders, which is a different kind of leadership than that we've known before. If anybody wanted to read that, they could. It's basically servant leadership, which is exactly the words you used this morning. I said, wow, he's pinched my notes. And we've all had those experiences of leadership, whether that be at school or it be in the home or be in church. Sorry, but we've all had that kind of leadership, which is hierarchical. It's controlling. It's been the one that's been oppressive and trying to push and manipulate people. And that is not what Jesus came and taught. He came and taught servant kind of leadership. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But today you'll notice I've got a whiteboard. Today I'm trying to teach. I'm more of a preacher, but today I'm settling back this morning into more teaching. And often in this church, we'll have the prophetic words and we'll have the Spirit move, which is fantastic. I love every moment of it. But every now and then, it's good to receive some teaching, yeah? And I just wanted to, I'm just going to pray and just believe that God would anoint what I've got to say this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for just your church and for every individual that's within it. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to stand tall and strong and testify of your goodness, testify of the good things that you've done. Father, I thank you, God, for the callings and the giftings, the anointings upon every person, every individual here. And Lord, I thank you, God, that we would start to move towards standing up and standing tall and being the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Through the week, I'm always looking at construction sites, and always intrigued. I'll get caught watching a video clip of. Can we turn that one off again, please, Pete? It's just blowing in my face again. And I'll see construction movies and anything, any mechanical thing that's been put together, and all. I'm just fascinated with how things go together. And I've been around church long enough to know that God has a plan for every one of us to stand tall and to be the body of Christ. And yet we do have an enemy that comes to steal, rob and destroy, and to try and to take us away from the very callings and giftings upon our life. And often we will find the enemy at work right where our gifting is. And I'll be ministering to somebody who I know has an amazing call upon their life, but they're suppressed in this one area. Guess what? That's their gift. It quite often you'll find the enemy at work pushing down, controlling, and trying to suppress the gift upon their life, especially those people that are a mercy kind of person who are vulnerable to hearing God and sensitive to the things of God. And often it's around prophetic gift type people, etc. Often the enemy has suppressed, but now it's time for the chains to come off. Amen. We sang that song this morning, you know, the chains have got to break. And I don't know about you, but I feel them break. Every time we sing that song, I feel it break. I feel it break. Great leading this morning, Joey. So I was looking at this construction site through the week, and I've been watching it for a while, and it looks like nothing happening at all. And yet I know there's been a big foundation laid. I saw the concrete trucks there numerous times. And it's a commercial site, and it's a tilt construction. So what they've been doing is pouring slab upon slab upon slab upon slab, ready to raise the sides of it up. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder when they're going to raise that. So I was driving past, and lo and behold, there it is. It's right. It's like instantly it's there. The crane's there, tilt one slab, another one, another one. And the form boards are all still stuck all over it, which I think's interesting. When we start to stand things in the spirit, there's still things to work on. We think that, you know, we just stand this structure and we throw a roof on it and off we go. No, there's a lot more to it than that. There's connection. There's sometimes there's a stripping down of the old. Sometimes there's all sorts of things. And as a master builder, he would look at it and go, yes, we need to raise this panel first, because if we start raising the panels here. I remember one time I was helping a mate out, and he got a delivery of frames and trusses to the job site, and said, oh, let's just whack them up. And I said, oh, I don't know that you should just whack them up. Like, how about thinking about it first, just for a moment, just think about it. So I just sort of stood back and let him be the boss. And he said, oh, we're just gonna start throwing them up. I said, oh, all right. So we started throwing all of these frames up at the beginning of the job. And instead of looking down in the far corner and taking those ones first and bringing the structure forward, where it would have been much easier than trying to, oh, blast, we've got a frame in the way. Hang on, we'll just move that out of the way and bring this one through. It is really about how it's constructed, how it's put up. And God has, in his wisdom, shown us how to put the structure up. I'm in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. If you've got a Bible there, you can come with me on that. What are we? I've got 25 minutes. So I'd love to preach this a little bit. Maybe I'll just I've got a time restraint. No, I don't. That's a dangerous thing to say to me. Before we get into this, you've got to understand it's about Christ. We can go to all the lengths of doing all the things that we know, but it can still be just in the natural. Last week I talked about battling and building, and you get halfway. If you haven't heard last week's message, this is a flow on from that. If you haven't heard it, grab hold of it, because I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but it was a great message. It was a message that I need to hear myself. Quite often I'm preaching to myself about these things. Now, we have to start with Christ. We have to start with Christ. So I'm just going to write me, you, and God, and change colour. It's the me in Christ. It's the you in Christ. It's the God in Christ that's going on here. If we can get this understanding that it's me in Christ, There's a scripture, a great scripture in Colossians chapter 1, 27. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the glory has to shine through us if we can, and it's really, it's a foundational truth. As corporately, as we all individually get me in Christ, it's when all the me's come together, the glory starts to shine. It's, and look, there's no more mystery about it anymore. It was a mystery pre, and it was like a, there was this waiting period, but now there's no waiting period anymore. There's no mystery anymore. He's out. And he's now in you, okay? So there's this first part of me being in Christ, and then there's you in Christ. There's the you bit, which is really what I want to talk about today, is you in Christ, which is what is your anointing? How has God created you? When Christ is in me, when he's in you, what is he like? What is the anointing? What is that? In 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are chosen, we are royal, we are holy. And this wonderful word called peculiar. I look around and I see peculiar today. You probably think, I'm rather peculiar. Well, I think I am too. But you have been purchased. You are peculiar because you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are different than out there. We have to help them come into peculiar. And that's peculiar in itself, okay? So I'm just talking foundationally just right now. So there's the me in Christ, the hope of glory. There's the you in Christ. What is your anointing? What is your specific anointing? And then there's, which is really interesting because there's lots of different anointings, and I want to talk about fivefold today, and I want to say that fivefold ministry will help you find it, will help you find the gifts and callings upon your life. They squeeze it out of you. And I'll shorten this down a little bit. And so then there's the God in Christ. What was God doing through Christ in this earth? That's the question. What was he really doing? We know what he did back at the cross, but what is he doing now? What is God doing in Christ right now here in this earth? It's a really interesting question. We must explore these theological depths of what is God doing in Christ? His mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his victorious future, his riches, his love. All of these things are theological things that we could talk at length about. But this is just purely foundational in order for us to go somewhere this morning. Okay? So once we start to understand those things, sometimes we're still just here, we're just still at the glory. You know, I just love the glory. I just love being in his presence. I just love the glory. We turn up at church. Oh, I just love the glory. Just love the glory. Just love the glory. It's all just glorious. That's beautiful. But there are calls and giftings upon our lives in order for to be you in Christ out there. What is God's calling and gifting upon your life? What is God saying to you today? This morning, and as I said, that the enemy is right there. He's right here in this area trying to squash you to being the glory out there. Yeah? Okay. I thought that was good. I'm breathing in that, aren't I? that's actually a good thing because I don't normally breathe through my nose. So I'm starting to be healed in all of my congestion and all of that sort of stuff, which is really good. Okay, last week I talked about the anointing is the equipment to get the job done. I talked about that, and that at an individual level, we're talking about, Keith talked about this morning, we want to put walls up, we want a container for when God pours out, it's God's job to pour it out, and it's our job to build this container. And so there's all of these things coming together right now about the walls going up and in order to contain God when he pours out. And so we talked about an individual level and we talked about a corporate level. And I finished with this word was a non-jealous fivefold. That's where I finished last week. And when leadership is at each other's throat, it's just not going to work. It just isn't. And again, that's a weave of the enemy as well, trying to weave into what God's wanting to do. God is doing a fantastic thing here. I don't know whether you feel it or notice it, but God is doing an amazing thing here in this church. Just as we stay hungry and we stay after the things of God and we stay spirit-led, also be encouraged, you have right here a non-jealous fivefold. You have people that are quite comfortable in themselves to be who they are in God. We're not fighting amongst ourselves. We're just happy to... I love it when Keith gets up and does his thing. A bit weird, a bit peculiar. But, you know, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with what Di does. I'm happy with myself. And we're not trying to challenge and try to one be better than the other. It's not about that. So I think God's blessing is pouring out on that because of that, one of those, because of that. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and let's just quickly work through some things here that I want to show you this morning. So the theme, if you haven't read Ephesians 4, you need to read the whole thing in context, because the whole thing in context is really talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the body. It's talking about being one. If you got your Bible there, in verse, I know I've even got it written down here, but I'm still going to just read it. In Ephesians 4, and if we just start at verse 2, we see all of these ones. If you had a highlighter and you were to highlight the word one through here, it hits at least about 8, 9, 10 times. Like there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. It's the one part of this Bible. Everything seems to be one. And so Paul is deliberately writing it this way because he wants his body to be one. Scripture is unfolding and it's revealing itself here and just saying it's through the Spirit that it makes us one. And so if we come down to verse 7, which is really the crux of all of this, we see a very interesting word. And it says in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So there's a grace that's been given, a grace meaning an empowerment to do. So there's a grace, an empowerment to has been given as Christ apportioned it. Or another word, if in your Bible it might say the word measure. And so this word measure is the Greek word called metron. Now, metron is a really interesting word which means field. It's actually a farming term. So as each one of us, what it's really saying here is that each one of us has a field of influence, a field that we must tend, a field of whether it be one person. You could just have one person in your field. You could have 10 people in your field, and so on and so on. In your metron, everyone's been given a grace, the empowerment to either look after one, preferably two, yourself and someone else, and it could be 10, could be 100, could be 1,000, could be 10,000. So each and every one of us, here it's saying that each and every one, but to each one of us, empowerment has been given as Christ measured it out in your field. Now, you can ask the question, I think I'm only at one, I think I'm only at two, I think I only influence just a couple. I think you'd be surprised. You might be influencing far more than you think. But you know what? That's okay, because there's a grace on that to do that. So then as the callings and giftings of God come on even more, this field starts to expand. As you grow, it grows. Your field, your area of influence, your area of tending. See, I have a responsibility. This is my field right now. And I have a responsibility to tend it, to look after it. Not to be hierarchy over it, but to tend it, to wash its feet, to look after it. That's what Jesus did. That's what, I don't know where that book, that's what this book's all about. It's about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He went to the lowest position. So it's not about everyone trying to be an apostolic type of person, because we think, oh, apostolic's the highest of all leaders' levels, and I just have to try and get there. Good luck. Because there's probably not a grace on that. There's probably not an anointing on that. And we've seen it. It's really interesting. I just want to diverse. Can I divert just a second? I've got it here somewhere. Blow. I have to go off the cuff. It'll be in here somewhere. There's a part of this scripture where the apostolic gets the fivefold gets poured out, all these different graces, and not everybody has those graces. And if you are one of those graces, you just wish you weren't that one of those people, because there's such a demand upon it. But it's interesting, as God pours that grace out, it comes in, I think it's Psalm 68. I've totally blown this now because I've totally got off track. Psalm 68. He pours it out on not just us. We think Christian, he's pouring it out, he's giving these, dispersing these gifts out upon just Christians. No, he's dispersed. You will see the evangelist in the car yard. He will sell you a car before you've even walked through the gate. There's an anointing upon even a real estate person. They'll sell you the house before you've even walked through the front door. You know, before you even smell the coffee, you've bought that house. There's an anointing upon them. You know, out in the business field, the business arenas, you'll see the corporate leaders. They're those apostolic kind of leadership guys that are round the corporate table every Monday morning. Come on, guys, come on. We can do better than that, you know. Oh, you're doing such a fantastic job. You know, he's that kind of person. Then you've got the prophetic kind of people, and the teacher, and the pastor. You'll have the pastoral people out there that just wrapping their arms around you. you know, in that business corporate world. So it's not just in the church. God gives these gifts out as he sees it. And we, our job is to bring these people in so they help build the body of Christ. So the first point is the theme of Ephesians 4 is one of unity, and it's about the body of Christ. The second thing I wanted to say was that we all have a metron, we all have a field to tend, to look after, and it's a picture of the farm. Now, verse 8. This is why it says, you know, if I just stayed with my notes, it's right here. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train. There's a little spiel about it. He led all of those people that were dead in his train to heaven. And then he turns around and says, righto, everybody who's left, who's still alive, I'm going to give gifts to you. And I think it's more than just fivefold. But however, he's talking about fivefold here. If I wanted to divert, I'd go to Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. It talks about all those motivational gifts, the Father's gifts, the ones that we were born with. If it's prophesy, then prophesy. If it's serve, then serve. If it's teach, then teach. If it's encourage, then encourage. If it's give, then give. If it's leadership, then lead. If it's mercy, then mercy. That's basically all of those gifts. And again, he's proportioned those things out on everybody. So the fivefold gifts are what? Everybody knows. What are they? Apostolic, prophetic, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. So verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. It's really interesting, those all those dynamics. And what we're really aiming at, and I think what the Bible is really aiming at, is if we can get churches connected this way with those five, that fivefold leaders, all non-jealous of each other, functioning in one place, we have got something going. If it's just the pastor, he'll just love you to death like a new puppy dog. He'll just lick you to death. Even though that's beautiful, there comes a time when, could you please stop doing that? Do you know what I mean? And then if you go the other way, top heavy, and it's all prophetic, which we are, to be honest, a little top heavy. And we're believing for pastoral and for teaching to come in and complement this church. It's about complementing each other. And so at the moment, I think it's great that we have Sheena Ryan coming, who is a prophet, and she'll pick your number when you walk through the door. And it's that kind of ministry, which is all fun and exciting, but we need a balance of it all. We can't just have all of that and nothing else. And God is really clever with these fivefold anointings. And they are anointings upon a person's life to do what they do. It's a grace and it's an anointing. Be careful to not... what's one of those Ten Commandments? Covet. Something that you're not. Interesting. Because if you ever go to some leadership thing, they'll tell you you've got to be this or be that. But what has God called you to do? What is the area of influence? What is God's calling upon your life? And be happy with that. The minute you get outside this, and you're trying to do the 1,001, you'll blow up and you'll blow everybody else up in there. You've seen it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Burnout. Interesting stuff. So here we see another very interesting word coming up, another interesting Greek word in verse 12. And so we've got the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then we go to verse 12 and it says, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so this word, where'd the other pen go? There it is. Equip. Is a Greek word, which I can't spell it off by heart. K-A-T, katat, ezo. Which is a medical term. It's medical. It's the only time this Greek word turns up in the whole Bible. It's the only time that word comes up, katizo, is right here, to equip. And it's a medical term, which is chiropractic, bone breaking. Sorry about that. B-R-E-A-K. I'm getting better with my spelling, aren't I? I'm getting really good at spelling. Exactly. And so it's a medical term. Only it comes once. It's adjustment of bones. It's chiropractic. It's bone breaking. And reset to bring healing and health to the body of Christ. Who knows, we get off track from time to time. We just do. The human nature is we're sheep, really. That's why we need a shepherd, and the good shepherd, we follow him, yes? But every now and then, there's this other little voice, and all of a sudden, we're off on this little tangent somewhere. And you go, well, how did I get over here? Oh, I'm just a follower. I'm just a sheep. Bleep, bleep. And we get off track and we get caught up in all sorts of other things, every other kind of wind of doctrine and all other sorts of popular things. Oh, this is popular. I think I'll go over here. I'll leave my foundation in Christ. I think I'll go and do this over here. Hang on. The apostolic is to equip. It's to chiropractic. If you ever put your back out, you ever put your back out a little bit and you need a chiropractic adjustment, and you might feel terrible at the beginning when you walk out, but you know it's done something good in you, it's realigned you, and all of a sudden your bones and your muscles and everything else starts to fall back into place, and that's what this is about. This is the fivefold ministry is chiropractic. I don't know if anybody's ever had a bone set in the wrong place. Like, that's pretty major, isn't it? Like, if you've had a bone broken and you had to set it yourself, and all of a sudden your hand is this way and it should be here, you are going to need more than chiropractic. You are going to need a bone break, surgery. Spiritual, we're talking about, and a resetting in the plaster for it to come right. Some of us have gone way off on tangents where we actually need to break that thing and bring it back into line, bring it back into what Christ's intention is for the body of Christ. Now, I don't have a lot of time to open much of these things up, but all I know, what the evangelist does, he will just shake us up. The evangelist shakes us up. He's like salt. He wants to just kick us out of the church. Get Peter. Come on. Get them out of the church. He's like salt, but too much salt, it's like, ugh. Not enough salt, this is bland. Have I told you the porridge story? I think I have. I was visiting some friends out at the farm, and he said, "Would you like porridge?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I love porridge. That'd be awesome." But this guy made porridge like soup. It was brown. It was black. It wasn't made in a thermo, and it had like he had just like put so much salt in there, and he dished it up thinking it was fantastic. And I go, "Oh." No, I didn't. I waited for him to turn his back and I went under the table with it, you know, like it was disgusting. And, you know, sometimes too much salt, but you need salt. So don't throw all the porridge out. You need some salt in your porridge to put on the rest of your food that you're eating. So there's one balance of the evangelist, salt. The prophet gets us all fired up. You know, she's going to get us all fired up and she's going to speak things. She's going to get the heartbeat of heaven and speak into your life and you've got to go, yeah. Now what? What are you going to do with that? Good question. Can't just leave that there. You're probably going to need a teacher to come and get you on track to help you process that. He's probably going to... get my thinking right. Get the word into you. Get and be corrective. Who loves teachers? Then you're going to have the pastor. He'll just love you. He'll counsel you. He'll be soft with you. He'll be meek and mild with you. He just wants to help you. He just wants to lick you like a puppy dog, which is fantastic. We all need that. We all need that from time to time. We all need a cuddle. We all need that. And then there's the apostolic, the apostle, which I think brings all four alive. He has an amazing job and it's a grace and a calling and a gift just to bring people alive. He just seems to be able to talk or say the right thing or just be there and he just brings them alive. He raises them up. He raised them up. La, 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 la. You know, he challenges leadership. He is very chiropractic. He challenges actual leadership. He shakes things. He stirs things. And the water gets higher. That's what happens. The water in the tank gets higher. All of a sudden. So all of a sudden you've got these five very specific graces all working together to form one body in Christ. What are all the ones again? One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That's what Paul was saying in here. So he stays with the medical, he stays with the body of Christ terminology. I'm nearly finished here. And I'm going to finish with this. And so what is the purpose of all of this? What is the purpose? So we got to read from 13 all the way through to 16 to actually get this. And so what we see here, often we just stop at two verses and we only end up with four of these. But if we read all the way in context, all the way down, we actually get nine fruits of fivefold ministry, and I'm going to finish with this. Maybe I'll just get rid of this. How you going? All right? That's good. Am I? Yeah? I'm not normally a teacher, but I'm having a go. You know, there was teachers all the way through my family. Right back down through my family line, there were teachers. And just interesting, just a little. The grace is here today. So verse 13, if you want to read with me, I'm just going to write these out and we're going to finish, okay? That's all we're going to do. So Verse 13, until we all reach unity. So all reach unity. There's the first fruit. The second fruit is in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son. So knowledge of the Son. That's not right, but anyway. Is it correct? Wow. So until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Become mature. Attaining to the whole measure, and there's that word metron, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the whole metron, the whole field, so whole measure. Of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Which I think that's one of them. Yeah. So that we don't fall into false teaching. Can you see this okay? Is that, you can read it okay? It's a little bit messy, but and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him. In other words, we'll be mature representatives. Second last one. Who is the head, that is Christ, from him the whole body, joined and held together in every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. The whole body built and connected in love. So the whole body built and connected in love. And the last one. As each part does its work. And that word part again, as each metron does its work. So he stays in context all the way, which is really fascinating. So each part does its work. Who knows? We haven't made it yet. Some people say that the apostles and the teachers and the apostles and the prophets have phased out. We don't need them anymore. That was just to build up the body of Christ at the time. Bum, bum. There's generations and generations that have come after there. And when I look at that, we've got a long way to go. There's 9 fruits there that we all need to see functioning in this body. The only way that's going to happen is when the fivefold, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and the teacher come together and bring their apostolic grace, their grace, the grace that's upon their lives and function together, we will see an explosion. We will see an explosion of God's pouring out of his wine. The container's built, we're going to contain it and we're going to see amazing things. And the tide level will go up and up and up and up. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. I could say more, but that's all I wanted to leave you with today was that You have a call upon your life. You have a metron. You have a grace. You have an anointing. We'll help you find it if you haven't already found it. And we'll go from strength to strength together as one body in Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word that there's enough in it for us to be challenged. There's enough in it for us to be taught. There's enough in it for us to be for us to grow. There's enough seed in it. So, Father, I thank you, God, today for your church, that she is becoming stronger every week. Every week she's standing tall. Every week she's becoming who she's supposed to be. And so, Father, I thank you, God, for this church, for this body of Christ, as it becomes more empowered, that we would go from strength to strength in the unity and of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.